Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area to bring you information you may not find on those other financial radio shows. We are aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here.
That's true. We do. My cue to start talking?
Yeah, I guess. And it worked.
Today is...
You think after 2 years we would have this down by now?
We're not radio show people. That's the entire point. We took this on to sound alarms. We are not radio people. You have tons of choices on the air if you want to hear well-polished radio people. We are not them. But you know what we are? We are honest, and we are here to sound alarms. We are here to let you know what's going on so you can act accordingly. Our job is to make sure you are prepared, not scared, and we always want you to be proactive, not reactive. So, talking to Doug this morning, little bit, kind of briefly, and Doug said, basically, do less stories. I'm paraphrasing. Do less stories and dig in a little deeper. Like, last week was a flurry. It was just like 10 headline articles, and then if one piques your interest, you have to dig in further. It's, you know why? That we can't get to any one thing. All of the stuff we bring you is important. So,
well, it's good, but you just read headlines. You don't dig deep on this.
Well, because I don't have time. If I had 6 hours, like I've been asking for every Saturday, we would have plenty of time. You know what we need? We need 6 hours once a week, or we need 5 hours spread out an hour a day, 5 days a week. Either way, then I'll have plenty of time. But your point is well taken, Doug. I know we need to give you a little bit more sustenance on each article. So I'll try to do that today. I'll do less articles. I've got them all lined up, but I put them in order of importance this week. So let's jump right in. One, actually, you know what? I don't want in order of importance. I want to throw one out that I haven't done in a while. I'm going to throw out one that these tickle me. They're never ending. Here is a new handout, a new universal basic income. This one, I got this from the Daily HODL on April 26th. $2,250,000 to be handed out with no restrictions as U.S. city launches latest guaranteed income experiment. I like the word experiment. At least they're kind of acknowledging that they don't know how these are actually going to work in the long run. Anyway, so after 3 years of planning, a U.S. city is reportedly a few months away from kicking off a family-focused guaranteed income program. Have you noticed when I've been bringing these up lately, they're niche more now. They're like, you know, one was young mothers, single mothers. They all generally have to do with poverty level. So this one is Pomona, California. It's called Flourishing Families. It's an 18-month, $2.25 million project. Seeks to support young parents who are going through financial struggles. Wouldn't that be all of them, by the way? So the program is looking for parents between the ages of 18 and 25 with children below 5 years old. What I've noticed about this program, it's very, very specific. Usually they're a little more general. So the organization has partnered with UCLA to process data and analyze the program's effectiveness. Participants will be interviewed 12 months into the program and once more after the program ends, says Pomona Mayor Tim Sandoval. The most valuable investment we can make in our communities is in our children. When we invest in our children, we have better outcomes. The program will be funded by the $4.5 million coronavirus aid awarded to the city in 2021. That's another interesting thing. There's still all kinds of coronavirus money out there. Don't you think that should have been given back? Maybe when we started opening up offices again? So I don't know. I mean, how do we still have COVID money? Give it back. Ukraine, I mean, the Social Security system needs it. So I don't get that. We're still popping out coronavirus money. But anyway, my big question about all these, who doesn't need money right now? I'm not talking to the wealthy. I mean, if you have $5 million and up, you're probably going to be okay with the stagflation we're experiencing. But if you have under $5 million, who couldn't use a little bit of this money? So I don't know. And when it ends, are people, Anthony, I know you like the idea. You're like, well, you always worry about giving the money to Ukraine, so here it's going to our country. I do like that, believe me. But part of the problem is this is, in my thinking, this is like crack. I mean, you're helping these people short term, 18 months, in my opinion, is short term. What happens when you cut this off? Are people really better off? Are they for sure going to use it for their mortgage? Are they bettering themselves over the 18 months? I mean, it just seems like such a Band-Aid to me. But I don't know. We'll see. Apparently, UCLA will let us know their findings. Actually, we'll never hear about this again. They're just going to waste a bunch of money, and then it goes away like everything else. So
sounds correct.
Yes. So, and I haven't, the last few weeks have been so fast and furious around here, I haven't been able to bring one of those up. I do have a little stack of them. I just thought that was interesting because it was so specific. So let's get to something that I think, this is probably the very most important thing I have for this week. You know, obviously there's, you know, floods and crickets and cicadas and war and pestilence and all that. But one thing that I really wanted to talk about, there is a documentary, I guess it's out already or it's getting ready to come out. Let me give you some here from MSN.com on May 4th. In a recent cringe-inducing moment, Jared Bernstein, chief economist and economic policy advisor to President Joe Biden, found himself in hot water as he struggled to explain the basic concept of how money works. So let's talk for a second. We give a pretty hard time to Janet. What's her name? Yellen. She just got back from China a couple weeks ago. So we give her a hard time. We give Jerome Powell a little bit of a hard time. This guy is the chief economic dude for Biden. This is a top dog with money. So anyway, this occurred. This little flub he made. It occurred during an interview for an upcoming documentary titled "Finding the Money," which aims to delve into the complexities of the economy. I took economics 101, so I know more than this guy probably. You know, part of it, during the COVID days, we printed money so dramatically. It's coming back to roost. You can't take money out of thin air and not expect some negative results, and that's what we're getting. So anyway, the film's preview teased viewers with the elusive nature of understanding money, even for those deeply involved in economic policy making. During one particularly uncomfortable exchange, Bernstein seemed to trip over the question of how money is created and circulated. He said, "We all use money." And yet the question of what is money and where does money come from remain elusive, the film states in the preview. Jim, I know you have a short, it's only like a minute and a half long clip of this dude. Do you mind playing that now? And then we will break it down here.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
It obviously begs the question, why exactly are we borrowing in a currency that we print ourselves? I'm waiting for someone to stand up and say, why do we borrow our own currency in the first place?
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well, again, some of this stuff gets, some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money, and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Because they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah. So a lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money and then it uses that money to I don't get it, I don't know what they're talking about, like, because it's like the government clearly prints money, it does it all the time, and it clearly borrows, otherwise we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
All right. So, I mean, maybe catch us later on podcasts, go to our website and find us and play that again three or four more times so you can understand that up there with Janet, whatever her name is, Janet Yellen and Jerome Powell, this is one of the people that are monitoring our financial system. These are the people that are making choices for our country. And this guy on camera said those things. So
yeah, but we print money and then we use money and then
money me,
and that's it. Money me need a lot of, no, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. It's like watching Wall Street executives explain options to people. It's beautiful.
Nobody knows what's going on. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know how to take this. I really, as much as we point out all the issues and problems in our country and in our world, you'd like to think that somewhere, somehow, in this country, there's adults in the room that actually have a plan. I mean, you know, I've worried about hyperinflation for a while. I've worried about the demise of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. I worry about open borders, not just because of the inevitable, you know, multi-city 9/11 style attack. I worry about the financial drain to our system. And I've said it a bunch of times on the show. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about you, Anthony. I'm worried about future generations. Anybody that has kids or grandkids, if they care about them at all, they should probably be really, really concerned with the financial direction of our country. So you would think, at least we have the brightest minds, you know, the people that really understand MMT, the modern monetary theory, you would think we'd have people with a handle on it. We do not. You know, why? We never really got to the bottom. Why was Yellen in China again last week? I think I might have gotten some of those answers. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But to finish up with Jared Bernstein, I went a little further because I thought this has got to be a joke. This has to be punked. This has to be a setup. It was not. This guy, one of the places I went to when I was researching this young man, I went to a site called Facts Buddy. It's Jared Bernstein's bio, wiki, age, family, father, wife, education, net worth, blah, 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 blah. So meet Jared Bernstein. Jared Bernstein is an American economist serving as senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Senior fellow. Can you imagine if they would have interviewed a junior fellow for this documentary? They should have interviewed a tree stump. At least it wouldn't have gotten so stumped. So previously, he worked as a chief economist and economic advisor from 2009 to 2011 to President Joseph Biden in Obama's administration. So apparently he's pretty good friends with Uncle Joe. So let's see here. Michael D. Shear described Bernstein in 2008 as a progressive and also a strong supporter of workers. Good, we should be. Presently, Bernstein is in the Biden administration as a member of the Council of Economic Advisors. In addition, he was nominated by President Joe Biden in February of 2023 to serve as chair of the Council of Economic Advisors. That sounds pretty important. Let's jump ahead. Let's go right to Jared's education. This might shed a little bit of light on why he's a little bit less proficient in the art of economics 101. So Jared received his high school diploma in 1973 from Ridgefield High School. In addition, Bernstein also attended a private school in Danbury called Wooster School. After graduating from high school, he enrolled at the Manhattan School of Music and studied double bass along along with Orin O'Brien. Bernstein graduated with a bachelor's degree in fine arts from the Manhattan School of Music. Moreover, Bernstein attended Hunter College and graduated with a master's degree in social work. He later joined Columbia University, where he earned a master's degree in philosophy and a PhD in social welfare. Furthermore, Bernstein has also worked at Columbia University, Howard University, and New York University. Additionally, he has also served at the Economic Policy Institute. Do you get all that, Anthony? So he's a musician and then a social worker?
No, that seems pretty qualified to me.
Where's the master's degree in economics? Where's the business degree? Where's the financial advising licenses? What on earth? What on earth? You know, the only thing is, I don't know how that, you know, this is, you know, growing legs on YouTube and so forth. I'm glad that this came out because we need to know. Jim's got an interesting question. How many unqualified people actually work in the Biden administration? And you could say any administration. I don't want to just say, you know, this is a recent update that we have incompetence in our leadership. But great question. So it's friends and family, you know, and that's life. Life is who you know, not what you know. We all know that. So should we jump to his salary? Just, I don't know. I'm beating a dead horse. I just think this sums up my entire financial feelings on what we're heading into as a country and where we've come from. You take a musician, turn into a social worker, and that's one of the top dogs on this economy. That's who's whispering into Biden's good ear. Holy crap, dude. Okay, Jarrett Bernstein's salary. They have to say it again in this article. He is an economist. There is no doubt. Therefore, he earns a decent salary. Good to hear. Bernstein's average salary is $600,000 per year.
Wow.
Jarrett Bernstein's net worth. Yeah, and you know, like, yeah, that's pretty high for a salary. I think Uncle Joe only gets like $475,000. So let me explain how he gets so much. He is an American economist. They say it on every one of these blurbs. It's hilarious. And also works in Biden's administration. Moreover, Bernstein also works for CNBC, New York Times, The American Prospect, and The Washington Post. Therefore, he has assembled a decent fortune over the years. Bernstein's estimated net worth is $11 million. Back to my theory of you're going to be okay if you have $5 million or up, and maybe not so much if you have under $5 million going into the future. You know, making assumptions like you're 65, you have a paid off home, you know, you drive some sort of a Buick if you live in Sun City, you have a golf car, but you call it a golf cart. There's certain rules. Anyway, so this guy will be all right. He's got $11 million estimated, which means he's probably got a little bit more. Any thoughts on this, Anthony, or do I move along? I'm just so stunned. I don't know what to do with myself over this one.
No, I mean, it was definitely interesting watching that clip. And I'm not sure if you played the long version or the short version, but it was very, very rough to watch. So to find out that he's a music major is, well, it makes sense, but it's also disheartening. So,
well, you've been in the office for 6 years. I am not being funny when I say this, and it's not because we are distantly related. I would much rather see you in charge of the financial well-being of this country than a social worker. You know, musician, that's his bachelor's degree. I mean, his higher education was in social work. He's probably a community organizer. He's probably got a lot of good, you know, resume features. I'm stunned. You know, we tell people it's super simple. We if you come in our office and you want to talk about financial planning, we are going to talk about what you have, what you've done, what you're trying to accomplish. You know, we're going to do that for you. We feel like we have the credentials. We have the education. We have the experience. You know, I mean, I've been in the office for, what, 26 years? I mean, I've seen a lot. I have an idea how to help you. I feel like I would be more qualified. You are smart. You are an engineer by trade. You left engineering to come into this job. You have common sense and you're smart. Between the two of us, I think they should call us to run the country. We don't even need $600,000. I would do it for $598,000. I would undercut that guy. I would run this country.
They're listening and they want to hire us. Our phone number is 623-523-0444, or they can find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com, or shoot us an email, team@anothermoneyshow.com. And if you want to just send the application or whatever it is that we need to accept this job position, we'll be more than happy to take it.
Should you give the address too, in case like a white or a black SUV with dark tinted windows wants to show up and grab us?
Well, then they can look up the anothermoneyshow.com site. Yeah. They can find our address there.
They can do a little work. They're pretty smart people. They're social workers and musicians. All right. I guess we have to move on. Although I would like to honor Doug's wishes and spend the entire hour just on this, because I think we're done. I mean, this is the mic drop moment for me. You know, I've given Yellen such a hard time and Powell a pretty hard time. They pale.
Their qualifications are?
I don't know. I know I have in the past. Yellen is just a perpetual talking head. I mean, I remember in the past looking up her credentials and nothing stood out to me, but she's had some pretty high up positions with our financial well-being in this country. So I don't know. Again, I believe in life, in the government, everywhere. Who you know is more important than what you know. And it just, this one shocked me though, I got to admit. So moving on to a couple lighter things. There's, you know, we always try to bring you timely stuff. You know, we talked about skimmers last week, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I had a couple different articles that talked about a new smartphone attack. It's called Brokewell. Smartphone attack drains bank accounts and leaks location, posing a significant threat to the banking industry. So I guess if they can get into your cell phone, I guess these Trojan horses or whatever, they can take your stuff. This one must focus on your banking apps. So it says here, this is the Daily HODL from May 5th, from Cinco de Mayo. Security researchers are issuing an urgent alert about a new malware attack that's targeting Android users' bank accounts. The malware, which has been nicknamed Brokewell, takes the form of a fake Google Chrome browser update web page that mimics Google's own messaging. So I don't remember ever seeing something to update my Google browser. When users are directed to the page, they see a message stating that Chrome needs to be updated. If they fall for the fake ad, criminals gain full control over the device, allowing them to capture banking credentials as they've entered on the screen, as well as record audio, collect information about the device, access call history, and track geolocation data. So I don't know. It says here, Threat Fabric says its analysis shows the malicious application is a previously unknown malware family with a wide range of capabilities. So, and then, you know, at the end of the article, they give you a couple of ideas. The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has released a set of guidelines on how to avoid malware attacks. Among other things, the agency recommends that people download well-known software directly from the source, avoid clicking on potentially suspicious links, ignore pop-ups, read browser security alerts, and scan devices for malicious activity. I know on your computer, on our laptops, we're supposed to make sure we have, you know, updated virus protection and firewalls. I guess what this says to me is you're supposed to do that on your phone too. I'm not sure if I've done a great job with that on mine. I don't know about you, Anthony. You still have an Android too, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I guess later on we will do nothing this afternoon except worry about this Brokewell.
This is Another Money Show. Except this one's different. This one's actually fun.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
Fixed indexed annuities can help protect your retirement savings against market ups and downs. Nationwide's Peak 10 can help protect against market risk and provide guaranteed income for life. Peak 10 also has an optional rider that offers an immediate 20% bonus based on your principal applied to your income benefit base. Call us now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444 to connect with a qualified advisor. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Guarantees and protections referenced within are subject to the claims-paying ability of Nationwide Life and Annuity Insurance Company. Nationwide Peak 10 is issued by Nationwide Life and Annuity Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio. Neither Nationwide nor its other entities are associated or affiliated with Brookstone Capital Management, LLC.
Got questions? Call Rochford & Associates now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Do you want a steady stream of income for retirement? Then it's time to consider annuities. I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. Gone are the days when most employers offered pensions with guaranteed lifetime payouts to their workers. But what if I told you that you can build your own personal pension? It's possible with an annuity. An annuity is a financial product that provides a series of regular payments to an individual over a specified period of time, often for the rest of their life.
There are several options for you to consider when choosing an annuity. Be confident in knowing that there is an annuity out there that can meet all of your needs.
Ford Stokes is founder and president of Active Wealth Management and author of the book Annuity 360. There are several different types of annuities, including fixed, variable, and fixed indexed.
A fixed annuity offers a specific guaranteed interest rate on their contributions to the account. A fixed index annuity is an accumulation-based product offered by an insurance company. The growth of your fixed index annuity is dependent on the performance of a chosen stock market index, but your money is not actually invested in this index. This offers you great growth potential and exceptional protection for your investment.
While each can provide tax-deferred growth and a lifetime income stream, variable annuities put your principal at risk in the market.
If you are currently investing in a variable annuity, your funds could be in serious trouble if the market experiences any downturns.
With so many possible choices to consider, it's essential you speak to a financial advisor or professional to help you make the best decision for your future. So, are you ready to consider an annuity as part of your retirement plan? It's a key question to consider as you approach what should be your golden years. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure.
This is another money show, except this one's different. This one will actually keep you awake.
So CBS, the 2024 annual report, the trustees report got sent out. And I know that because I just saw a CBS article on it. And they reported that it's good news now because we've gone up a year since 2023's report on how long we're going to be solvent. So now it is 2035 instead of 2034 before it's broke. But what they don't comment on is that a couple years ago, it was also 2035. And a couple years ago, it was also 2034. So over the last 4 years, it's fluctuated up and down. So all it's saying is that in 4 years, we've made no progress outside of being within a 2 year span of when it's broke. But they've raised their numbers. We quote these all the time. We say that, you know, you mentioned raising the age for taking Social Security potentially being a problem. And we do a lot of our planning for our clients around that potentially being a problem in the future. So if you're in that 62, 63, 64 age range and you're not taking it, it may be worth reaching out to us to consider. Or if you're at full retirement age but still working, it's 100% worth considering getting yourself under the radar. But anyways, the trustees report says that in order to keep it solvent for another 75 years, taxes right now, 3.33% are going to jump up to 15.73%. That is a huge, overwhelming amount of taxes to be added. And we say this all the time, is we're broke. Taxes are going to go up in the future. Here's a report from Social Security saying it. If we're going to be solvent, we need to raise taxes. They're also talking about cutting benefits for current current issuers of Social Security, anybody who's currently taking it now, they're saying that in order to save solvent, it's 20.8%. So imagine a fifth of your Social Security being gone. Now, that's not going to go over well. We know that's not going to go over well. We see it every day, how many people are dependent on their Social Security checks. Government is going to have a huge issue if they come in and just cut a fifth of that across the board. So what they're also proposing is that they can stay solvent if they just cut those who haven't taken it yet, which is, again, part of why we would like to see people get under the radar if they can make it work. But they're talking about 24.8%, so essentially a fourth. If you haven't taken your benefits yet because you think you're going to get paid more at 70, you know, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll actually be paid a fifth or a fourth less because you didn't take it now when you had the chance. It's so important to be considering getting on Social Security as soon as possible and reinvesting that money, however you choose, but at least you're getting it and getting under the radar. But I did love the CBS article spinning it and how it was actually good for us.
And you know what's funny? You have heard me for 6 years in the office. Maybe you even heard me by accident before you came in the office. I've been saying it for over 20 years now. They're going to have to go to a three-prong approach. They're going to raise the age. You know, we're living longer. We're all in this together. The second prong, they're going to have to make younger workers pay more into it. That's what you're, you know, solidifying today. And then lastly, because none of these will keep it solvent, they're going to have to cut benefits. You, when we were new with the show, so probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, you had brought a couple articles to me showing they were going to have to reduce it 23 to 25%. That was across the board. That was anybody taking it. So the bottom line, couple things for you. One, I've been talking to people, brainstorming with people for over two decades on when it's best for them to take Social Security. There used to be a lot of advantages to maneuver how you did Social Security. There were things like file and suspend. There were different programs that you could do. And the government has, since they've cleaned up the advantages for the person, they've taken them away. But I can tell you, when I used to do appointments for people, you know, helping them figure out when the best time is for them, if it's full retirement age or at 70, what we would do, we would talk about family history. If every person in your family died in their 60s, not that we know for sure, but that's leaning me towards the thing you should look at it. If you have no other income, if you don't have a pension, if you don't have much saved, grab it. That 12, 13, 14 year break-even point is a huge deal. Plus, when do you, Tom Hegna talks about the go-go years when you first retire and you're on the go, you're playing golf, you're going on a cruise, you're doing all that. Then there's the slow-go years, you know, when your health starts, you know, slowing down and you can't do as much. And then eventually there's the no-go years. And that's when all your money goes to the doctors and to the, you know, care people. I mean, and we know how to do this. We know what questions to ask you about your income, your assets, your relative tax bracket. We know all this stuff. Sit with us. Give us a call, 623-523-0444. Let's talk about it. We presume you're seeing some of this like we are, that they're finally addressing it. It's been such a political hot button, they just couldn't talk about it. Well, it's crunch time. They know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. So they're starting to talk about it. I think they have bigger fish to fry. So, but you know, they're getting to it. So if you think that the world's going to make it and this country's going to make it for the next 10 years, I guess you can wait and see. I would recommend being proactive, not reactive, and talk to us. We will help you. Make an appointment with Anthony if you want to get right to the point and do Social Security planning. Make an appointment with me if you want 2 hours of end of the world talk, and then we will get you over to Anthony for the Social Security planning. And by the way, you're leading me into the next thing. This is a pretty great time to talk about something. I'm not worried about 2034. I'm not worried about 2036, 2035. I don't care. We're not going to make it. I am so sorry. And I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have any inside information. I'm not Martha Stewart. I know I look like her a little bit some days. This we're on the fast track to this country going down the toilet. Sorry, a little bit blunt for you. On the 8th of May, as we record, you'll hear this on, like, I don't know, the 11th or something. So this more like a young Burt Reynolds. Oh, that means because I'm balding. Do you know Burt Reynolds? Burt Reynolds, when he was in college, he was bald. My mom who lived in Florida at the time, met him at a hotel that my grandfather ran, and she dated him. He didn't go by Burt Reynolds. He went by Buddy. So that was before his big career. He was very worried about his hair. Your puppy's name is Buddy?
Well,
puppy
for now.
Has a lot of hair, though. Your puppy is so cute. Anthony's got a new addition to the family. So now when you come over to the office for the cuddle bunch, we have a built-in office puppy now. I'm super excited.
Oh, so you know what's funny is while you were ranting and I was ignoring you, I actually just booked an appointment to have him spayed and neutered tomorrow morning.
You're talking about Burt Reynolds or the puppy?
Both. I think Burt's already been neutered. Is he post-menopause now? I think he's broken.
He's still badass with his toupees. But yeah, that's a little-known fact. My mom actually dated Buddy Reynolds when they were in college. So back to the end of the world. So Burt Reynolds, if you're listening, reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. We have questions for you. We want a photo. I'm going to feel bad if he has passed away. I just don't know that. So anyway, there's a couple things. We told you that within 1 to 2 years, SWIFT is going to go into a central bank digital currency. We, I believe, have told you, I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago, according to Zero Hedge on April 25th, cashless society is a-coming. The WEF, the World Economic Forum, those are the really smart people. So Jared Bernstein's probably one of them. They boast that 98% of central banks are adopting CBDCs. That's the central bank digital currency. I don't want to read too much of this, but it's just the beginning of it. Whatever happened to the WEF? 1 minute they were everywhere in the media, and now they have all but disappeared from public discourse. After the pandemic agenda was defeated and the plan to exploit public fear and create perpetual medical autocracy was exposed, Klaus Schwab and his merry band of globalists slithered back into the woodwork. To be sure, we'll be seeing them again one day. But for now, the WEF has relegated itself away from the spotlight and into the dark recess of the Davos echo chamber. Much of their discussions now focus on issues like climate change or DEI, the diversity, equity, inclusion. But one vital subject continues to pop up in the white papers of the global think tanks, and it's the program that was introduced publicly during COVID. Every person that cares about economic freedom should be wary of central bank digital currencies as perhaps the biggest threat to human liberty since the attempted introduction of the vaccine passports. Anyway, so they are saying that almost every single central bank, that includes us kids, is going to adopt a central bank digital. Well, of course they're going to, but more pressing, you know, we're going to get, you and I, Anthony, have speculated our central bank digital currency is going to be developed through a think tank spearheaded by Jamie Dimon, we presume. Chase Bank is probably going to have to administer it. They'll have a handful of banks that'll remain standing. Chase will be the big dog. What, unfortunately, the rest of the world doesn't really care about this country anymore. We've said that over and over. The central bank digital currency that I would be worried about is not our own. It's the BRICS nations. So a little update for you. We had told you several times that coming up October, which will hit us quickly, that's going to be when we presume they're going to unveil their new currency. They're going to say whether it's gold backed. They're going to probably have a final number of who's going to be in the BRICS nations. So that's October. Well, something that I've learned here just in the last week, there's going to be a big BRICS meeting next week on Tuesday, May 14th in Moscow. The BRICS meeting, China's going to be there, of course. This meeting is going to be on currency. This one is specifically their meeting on currency. My presumption is, since they are de-dollarizing our country as fast as possible, they're going to, as soon as next week, start changing things for the world reserve currency. You know, Janet Yellen was in China. Why would she in China a couple weeks ago? That's when I said I would jump ahead and kind of get to that.
She was there to beg China to stop being better at production than we are.
And stop the globalization of every currency except our own.
China.
Yes, China, you ridiculous communists. Start being free like us. Total freedom like the United States of America. Stop putting your thumb down on people. So anyway, it looks to me like you may want to watch very closely, if you're hearing us on Saturday, it's only a few days away, Tuesday the 14th. This BRICS meeting may be the declared beginning of the end for the U.S. fiat currency worthless dollar that it is. So that's why I don't give a you-know-what about Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, 2035. Who cares? We're not going to make it. We've said over and over, you still have Bernie Sanders in the White House. As far as I know, his main objective in life is to work on Medicare for all. You completely opened the borders, what, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago? Follow the money. So if we get Medicare for all, it would have been problematic 4 years ago. They estimated we would need a 60% tax bracket across the board to sustain Medicare for all. And now you've added millions and millions of new people. They don't even want you to call them immigrants.
You already said that if you're illegal, you get all this free health care anyway. So the Medicare for all doesn't affect that at all. Anyway.
Well, it's great, though. They're saying we're, you know, they're acknowledging.
Yeah, but what about you? What about all the medical debt that mom just incurred because of her accident or whatever just happened? Wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have to worry about that since we're in the richest country in the world?
At what cost? At a 60% tax bracket? I don't know. And by the way, we're paying our medical debt. You know, we're actually paying it. Your mom finally spearheaded. She got tired of me with the piles of medical debt that I really wasn't getting to as fast as I should. So she's been making payments. It's like, whether you have their money or not, if you have medical debt, I highly suggest you try to make payments because it's very annoying what they charge and how they go about all this. But anyway, so your question is valid, Anthony. But my answer is, at what cost? You know, we as a family, you, your mom, me and Jay last night went to State Farm Arena and we saw the Rolling Stones and, you know, Mick Jagger. I'm reminded of how a few years ago he had a heart problem. Well, apparently he was in England or Britain or UK or whatever the heck it is that he's from. And he, instead of getting medical care in England, he came to New York City for his doctoring. So I guess maybe our healthcare system is better. I don't know. I mean, if you have the kind of money that I presume he has, and you can have your surgery anywhere you want, why would you leave your home country, come to the United States to have the surgery? Because we have a good healthcare system. The problem is when you open border and I don't know, 10 million, whatever people have crept in so far that's on the books, it's going to implode. So the Medicare for all, I didn't like it 4 years ago. I don't like it even worse now. It's not sustainable. It's not going to be good. And what do they always do? They hurt the working class. They hurt the families. They're I don't know. I
mean, they hurt the working class by making it easier to see a doctor instead of loading them up with hospital bills?
Easier to see a doctor. Have you looked into Canada's health system? Have you looked into if you fall and break a hip or break a hip and fall? I don't know what order that actually happens in. If you have a broken hip and you're in Canada, I have heard.
System, but aren't there wait lists for surgeries and things like that here too?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're as bad as when you have universal health care, when you have, you know, Medicare for all. I don't think so. I've heard we have the best health care system on the planet. That's what I've heard. I mean, I don't know. I've never had surgery in Canada. I guess I could. I'd get all my Viagra up there. I run down to Mexico and get my Cialis, but I mean, I don't know. And by the way, I'm just kidding. Your mom's going to listen to this episode and be like, yeah, yeah. Obviously, he doesn't have those things. You know what, Anthony? I know that it's hard for you to face all these things coming at us. And I know you want me to calm down and be less worried about things. It's just not going to happen. I'm just thinking everything's
right to be worried about things. Things are bad. But you connect a lot of dots that aren't there. Just for the sake of being upset about something.
So capital gains tax is going up, taxes going up, the cost of everything going up. Don't you kind of think all the dots I connect could possibly lead to a giraffe? Don't you think they could actually lead to something? You're not seeing that all the stuff I bring you every week is a slow creep towards a massive, massive change socially, politically in this country? You really don't see it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's always been some worry about
good? Since nothing is good now?
Do you think, I said something pretty shocking. Do you think we could have a multi-city 9/11 style terrorist attack in this country? You think that's a possibility?
Yeah, of course it's a possibility.
And would that lead to good change? Is that the kind of change you're saying? I mean, I'm not being a smart aleck. I think that the reason
I love... We go from universal health care and to a multi-city terrorist attack. Oh, that's what I'm saying, the connecting the dots. I was like, I don't know.
It's easy. You open up the borders.
so much
you open up the borders. When you let anybody and their mother in this country, it's going to lead to unsafe cities. It's going to lead to a strain on our healthcare system, with the underlying theme of everything is money. I mean, everything out there, it comes down to money.
No, but we print money and then we use money, JR. Money is fine.
Nerd. By the way, we need to get Jared. We had Seth Leibson. We've only had one guest so far. We need to get Maria. We've got our first guest should have been Maria, so I need to reach out to her. We've got a lineup of guests. I had dinner with Debbie Lesko last weekend. She said she'll come on the show. I've been asking people that have name brand recognition if they'd come on the show. So we got to reach out to them and start lining them up. But it's just, there's always so much to talk about. I can't squeeze anything in. So anyway, I guess all I'm getting at is everything I bring to you, whether it's little stuff like skimmers and Brokewell, you know, malware on your phone, or big stuff like the BRICS meeting next week, it seems to me like we're going the wrong direction. And my biggest fear, there's going to be a whole big chunk of this country that has no idea what hit them. So if you get within 500 yards of me or my office or this radio show, you are going to have a better idea what hit you one day on a Friday afternoon after 5 o'clock when the banks close their door and there's a bail-in. You are going to be less likely to be stuck in the normalcy bias in which Anthony is strictly, solidly, welcomingly stuck in.
Digging in deep. My heels are going to be ultra normal. My bias is going to be great. Should I bring us back to something financial?
No, one more thing. Okay. We want people. No, I mean, that's solution time. We have a little time left.
And yeah, that's
I'm
going to
put the other articles aside. I'm going to put the other articles aside and go to some solutions. So, you know, Jerry, you bring this stuff every week. Blah, blah, blah. Anthony says, Jerry, you sound like this. Blah, blah, blah. And it's all negative. So what am I supposed to do about it? You know, build a spider hole in the backyard that I can climb into when the day is right? Maybe. I mean, I've seen doomsday preppers. I've seen doomsday bunkers. Yes, that's a real show. Look it up. I think it was on National Geographic. Yeah, it was interesting stuff going on. You know, so my thing is you should at least be awake and aware of your surroundings and act accordingly. We have said since we've had this show, we only have enough time to sound alarms. There are solutions. We want you to pay down debt. People that have enough money in their bank account, like Anthony brought one up last week, that has a small mortgage, pay it the heck off. Well, but what if Bill is right and we have a grand reset and a debt jubilee? Won't I be sad that I paid off my mortgage? Well, what if it doesn't happen for 10 years, Bill, or 20 years? What if you pay off your house and then you have even 2 years of no mortgage payment? Isn't that a good peace of mind? Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that give you increased cash flow for other things like spider holes and bunkers? I mean, the other thing, I hate to tell you this, the word debt jubilee, people that are into Nacera and Jessera and debt jubilees, I love the thought because a jubilee sounds really fun. I'm gonna have baked Alaska for dessert during the jubilee. You know what? Guess what? 98% of the central banks are having central bank digital currency coming. You know what debt jubilee is going to mean? We fold. The world reserve currency is gone. We have Jamie Dimon's CBDC here at home. You're not going to be able to use your gold and silver because you're going to be a target if you walk out your door. You're going to have social credit scores. You're going to have an EBT card that's loaded with how much money they deem you fit for you, depending on your social credit score. So the debt jubilee, you don't have a mortgage. You also don't have any freedom. So welcome to it. So back to the solutions. I think you should pay down debt if at all possible. I think you should buy hard assets, everything from diversified holdings, maybe a little bit of gold and silver, just in case, maybe some alcohol and tobacco, maybe some guns and ammunition, maybe some food and water, maybe reach out to Marcy and buy a tower garden. You should do these things with your increased cash flow or your extra money. You should look at your 401k statement. If you have an old 401k sitting there, it's free. They're not charging me. Yes, they are. The third-party administrators don't work for free, so they are charging you via spread. We can help you understand it. We can tell you, you know, the pros and cons of moving it to your new 401k, cashing it out, turning it into an IRA, whatever is best for you. We can help you with that. we get a little bit, I get a little bit tired. Anthony and I are split up a lot because we've been busy lately, but I get a little tired.
So I can't deal with JR anymore.
And you got a new dog, so at least you have a friend. I'm glad I don't have to be a friend anymore. I'm kind of glad. It's nice to see you with somebody else on a leash other than me. So my thinking, it's nice to see you laugh. This is good. So my thinking, I want to talk for a second about annuities. I get person after person. When my husband died, the last thing he said on his deathbed wasn't, "I love you." It was, "Never buy an annuity." People don't understand. So I'll give you a couple ideas what annuities can do. And I know I'm saying the A word, which is taking a big risk. So if you think it's a good idea to put a 1-year CD in place at your local bank and you can get 4.5% to 5% in that range right now for a 1-year CD, by the way, you should question why. If you do a 3-year CD, you'll get less. If you do a 5-year, you'll get even less. You should question that. But here nor there, if you put a 1-year CD, you put 50 grand or whatever in your bank, you know, 2 million, whatever, and you're getting 5% on 1-year CD, your backing through the FDIC, folks, is about 1.15%. So about 98.5% of your money is not covered, guaranteed, insured, whatever you think. So don't give me this crap. Well, I have under 250,000, I'm covered. Yeah, you're covered by about 1.5%. So go from there. The insurance companies keep 100 or more percent reserve coverage for your money. And guess what? We have one right now. And today is the 8th of May. So don't hold me to this rate by the time you get around to me. So we have a 1 year as of today paying 5.1% with over 100% coverage based on the claims paying ability of the carrier. So we, as fully independent advisors, we screen the carriers to make sure that we feel they're a good fit and they are solvent. And we point out that nobody's ever lost a dime at an insurance company. So there's that. And it works just like a CD. 1 year later, you have a 30-day window. We can say, let's take out part of it. Or we like your new rates, let's let it roll over. Or let's take it all out because there's better rates elsewhere. Or I'm going to buy a Toyota Tundra or something else. So we like that. If you want income, you're worried about Social Security. We know that what Anthony was saying resonates with you. Everybody's worried about it. Come on, I don't care how much money you have or how much income. So we have solutions. You can self-fund a pension. You can use an insurance company and put a little chunk of your money into it. And if you're getting $2,000 a month and the mortality table, say you're going to die at 80. So at 80, you run out of money. They draw your $2,000 a month, 80, you run out of money. What if you live to 90? You keep getting your $2,000 a month until you're 90. It's lifetime income. Let me say that a different way. It's income you cannot outlive. Name another product that you can do that. Stocks, banks, cash, CDs, Bitcoin, Dogecoin.
So you know who is worried about that now?
Who?
BlackRock.
BlackRock. We haven't talked about
that article I sent you. So anyways, there's a New York Post article. BlackRock looks to make monthly paychecks part of 401k employee retirement plans. They're calling it Life Path Paycheck. The CEO is very adamant that people are living longer, but we're not prepared to pay for it. So you know what he's trying to introduce? Annuities. You know what That's annuities awesome. Are? Pensions. You know what pensions are? Pensions were retirement plans that 401ks killed so the companies could profit more and make you pay for your own retirement so that they didn't have to. It's all coming full circle. Everything is cyclical, JR. Everything.
There's always been something to worry about, Anthony. You need
always
to
been something to worry about. And speaking of it, I think that's it for us. Thank
but
you.
But there's never been this much yeah. to worry about. So please keep this in mind. We'd love
if you're alive now. If you were alive down during the plague, you'd be like, oh my God, there was nothing.
I so, was. It was only 4 years ago.
Anyways, get out of here. We're done. If people want to hear more of JR, and I know they do, people love JR. Tired of hearing me yell at JR. They just want to hear more JR. Anyways, that's it for today's show. If you like what you heard, you have questions about any of the topics today, or want to sit down with us to review your personal situation, Reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. Book appointments straight from the website. Give us a call, 623-523-0444. That number again is 623-523-0444. Remember, there are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments. There's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. Or if you want to just talk to Jer about the end of the world, he thrives in that too. We'll set up a 4-hour appointment for you. Anyways, that's all for you. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency. Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.